This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inshallah, we'll be reading from verse number 1 of Surah Al-Hadid, page number 739 of the Noble Quran translation, and page number 550 of the Sahih International translation. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. سبح لله ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم له ملك السماوات والأرض يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير هو الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن وهو بكل شيء عليم هو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم استوى على العرش يعلم ما يلج في الأرض وما يخرج منها وما ينزل من السماء وما يعرج فيها وهو معكم أينما كنتم والله بما تعملون بصير له ملك السماوات والأرض وإلى الله ترجع الأمور يولج الليل في النهار ويولج النهار في الليل وهو عليم بذات الصدور آمنوا بالله ورسوله وأنفقوا مما جعلكم مستخلفين فيه فالذين آمنوا منكم وأنفقوا لهم أجر كبير وما لكم لا تؤمنون بالله والرسول يدعوكم لتؤمنوا بربكم وقد أخذ ميثاقكم إن كنتم مؤمنين هو الذي ينزل على عبده آيات بينات ليخرجكم من الظلمات إلى النور وإن الله بكم لرؤوف رحيم وما لكم ألا تنفقوا في سبيل الله ولله ميراث السماوات والأرض لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا وكلا وعد الله الحسنى والله بما تعملون خبير من ذا الذي يقرض الله قرضا حسنا فيضاعفه له وله أجر كريم يوم ترى المؤمنين والمؤمنات يسعى نورهم بين أيديهم وبأيمانهم بشراكم اليوم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ذلك هو الفوز العظيم يوم يقول المنافقون والمنافقات للذين آمنوا انظرونا نقتبس من نوركم قيل ارجعوا وراءكم فالتمسوا نورا فضرب بينهم بسور له باب باطنه فيه الرحمة وظاهره من قبله العذاب ينادونهم ألم نكن معكم قالوا بلى
ولكنكم فتنتم أنفسكم وتربصتم وارتبتم وغرتكم الأماني حتى جاء أمر الله وغركم بالله الغرور فاليوم لا يؤخذ منكم فدية ولا من الذين كفروا مأواكم النار هي مولاكم وبئس المصير ألم يأن للذين آمنوا أن تخشع قلوبهم لذكر الله وما نزل من الحق ولا يكونوا كالذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبل فطال عليهم الأمد فقست قلوبهم وكثير منهم فاسقون اعلموا أن الله يحيي الأرض بعد موتها قد بينا لكم الآيات لعلكم تعقلون إن المصدقين والمصدقات وأقرضوا الله قرضا حسنا يضاعف لهم ولهم أجر كريم والذين آمنوا بالله ورسله أولئك هم الصديقون والشهداء عند ربهم لهم أجرهم ونورهم والذين كفروا وكذبوا بآياتنا أولئك أصحاب الجحيم
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Him upon all conditions. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his household, his companions. May Allah bless them all and bless every one of us. May Allah accept the sacrifice that we may have engaged in during these days of sacrifice. And at the same time, may Allah grant us all goodness and Jannah. May Allah make it easy for us to do deeds that will lead us to Jannah and make it difficult for us to do deeds that would lead us elsewhere. Ameen. My mothers and sisters, Suratul Hadid. This is a surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals in various verses connected to the iron ore or the steel, as in the metal. And Allah says He sent it down. And inshallah, we will get to that perhaps in the next few weeks. But commencing this beautiful surah after the basmala, which is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, most merciful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off by saying, whatever is in the heavens and earth exalts Allah. And He is the exalted in might, the wise. This means every single creature of Allah praises Allah, exalts Allah, declares the praise of Allah and worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that mostly you and I would not recognize or do not know. For example, the trees and the stones and the other plantation and various creatures of Allah, the skies, the stars, the moon, the sun, all these are creatures of Allah that exalt Allah, that declare the praise of Allah. It is just man who sometimes falters or who turns away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah expresses His independence by saying in the next verse, He is the dominion of the heavens and earth. He gives life and causes death. And He is over all things competent. That's the translation in the Sahih International Translation. If we take a look at the Noble Quran translation, it says, His is the kingdom of the heavens and the earth, which means everything belongs to Him completely. You and I as well, we belong to Allah. We don't even belong to ourselves. We belong to Allah. He chooses when He gives birth. He chooses when He causes death. So Allah says, His is the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. It is He who gives life and causes death. And He is able to do all things. Nothing is not within the capacity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then He says, Huwa al-awwalu, He is the first.
There was nothing before him. It is Allah. And the last, nothing will be after him. The ascendant and the intimate. And he is of all things knowing. In the noble Quran translation, it says, he is the first, nothing is before him. And he is the last, nothing is after him. He is the most high, nothing is above him. He is the most near, nothing is nearer than him. And he is the all-knower of everything. Wow. Subhanallah. Huwa al-awwal wal-zahir. Huwa al-awwal wal-akhir. Wal-zahir wal-batin. Wa huwa bikulli shay'in alim. He knows absolutely everything. So in the previous verse, Allah says, he can do anything. He is all able, all capable. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Qadir. He is able to do anything, everything. Nothing is out of his ability. And here he says nothing is out of his knowledge. He knows absolutely everything. Even what is hidden and concealed in the hearts of man, he knows. So Allah says, it is he who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and then established himself above the throne. And this is the translation in the Sahih International translation. And if we were to take a look at the noble Quran translation, it says, he it is who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and then rose over or istawa on the throne in a manner that suits his majesty. He knows what goes into the earth and what comes from it, and what descends from the heavens and what ascends into the heavens. And he is with you by his knowledge wheresoever you may be. And Allah is the all-seer of what you do. So this is also declaring the greatness of Allah, making mention of the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amazing. He knows what penetrates into the earth and what emerges from it, and what descends from the heavens and what goes up into the heavens. And he is with you wherever you are. You cannot hide from Allah. You cannot go away from Allah. You cannot do things without him watching. He knows. He's in control. Absolutely everything. His hearing, his seeing, his ability is absolutely omnipresent. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us an understanding. So Allah says, his is the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and to Allah are returned all matters. He causes the night to enter the day, and causes the day to enter the night. And he is knowing of that within the chests of man. What you conceal in your breast, in your chest, Allah knows. Subhanallah. That's what we said just a minute ago. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining to us that he sends down things, good and bad. And things go up to him, good and bad. And when we say he sends down things, good and bad, we don't mean bad as in evil. But for us as human beings, it seems like it's bad. Say for example, if your son or your daughter or your husband or your parent was to be taken away from Allah, that decree was given from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels descend with the execution of the decree. For you and I, it seems like it's negative or bad. It's bad to lose your child. Yes, it may be looked at as bad, but for Allah, it's not bad. That was just part of the plan. My mothers and sisters, never lose focus. Never lose focus. What is the focus? Focus upon the fact that we are here to be tested by Allah. So if Allah wanted, he wouldn't have needed us to praise him. He does not need us to praise him. We need to praise him because it's part of the test. Similarly, when it comes to sustenance, we will see in the next few verses, if Allah willed, he could have provided for all of us in such abundance that none of us would need to beg or ask or even work. Who said that you would need to work? If Allah wants, you can get money without working. But Allah says, no, we raised some above the others in order to test all of you. Those who have more, will you give it? Will you realize how temporary it is? Do you know that it's going to be taken away from you? Do you know that if you die, everything is gone to someone else? Perhaps they will be fighting over it. So it's a test for those who have. And a test for those who don't. Will they be patient? Will they work hard? Will they still call out to Allah? Will they still be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Will they still continue to have hope in Allah even though 20 years have passed and they haven't really had a proper earning? If Allah wants, and if he wanted, that wouldn't have happened. He would have made everybody wealthy and rich. And he says this in the Quran. But Allah says, we have created you some above others in order to test you. It's all about a test. We ask you different questions. Everyone's given an interview, and each one's interview has different questions in it, and the tasks that you are given are different. It's like when you enter an exam room and the teacher asks you, what is 3 multiplied by 3? It's foolish to say, well, you know, why are you asking me? Well, the test is yours. We just got to make sure that you are, you know, we want to confirm that yes, you definitely do know. So you and I know Allah is in charge, Allah is in control, Allah is our maker, Allah is the one whom we are going to return to. We know all of that. Allah says, so now we will test you. Prove it that you know all of that. Prove it that you know this life is just temporary and it's a test. And this is why as you grow older, your eyesight begins to deteriorate sometimes. Your health in general begins to deteriorate, whether you like it or not. Clock the age of 80. At that time, what happens? Even if you've been the healthiest of people, but life changes. In fact, it starts changing perhaps at 40, because 40 is considered the peak. And things begin to change. Middle age spread. Have you heard of that? May Allah forgive us. Strengthen us. Ameen. So this is all part of Allah's plan to tell you and to prove to you and to show you and to remind you that, hey, this world is very temporary. A day will come when you will be gone, completely gone. Where are you going to go? Back to where you came from. Back to where you came from. Back to Allah. Subhanallah. Amazing. This is why all these are tests. Allah tests you with days of happiness, days of sadness. Do you relate all of that to Allah? Here is Allah. Listen to what He says. Again, He says, His is the dominion of the heavens and the earth. And to Allah are returned all matters. Everything goes back to Allah. His is the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. And to Allah return all the matters for decision. وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ All the instructions are dished out by Allah alone. He gives these instructions. He is the one. Nobody besides Allah decides what will happen, when it will happen, how it will happen, to whom it will happen, with whom it will happen, and so on. Everything is Allah. So Allah says, like we said moments ago, and this is an amazing verse, He causes the night to enter the day and causes the day to enter the night, and He is knowing of all that is within the chests or the breasts of man. He knows. So if you look at the day and the night, it's amazing how when the night is long, the day becomes short. When the day is long, the night becomes short. Clockwork, subhanallah. Literally, you can time it per split second, nanosecond. You know, this is when the sun will set, this is when the moon will set, or this is the birth of the moon, and this is so on and so forth, and the sun, and this is when it will arrive at the zenith, and this is when it leaves, and so on. But it's just man. Man decides, no way. I want to do my own thing. That's it. That's the test. My beloved mothers and sisters, it's important we realize this. So Allah says, after that, verse number 7 is a powerful, powerful, powerful verse. Do you know what Allah says? It's an instruction. He says, آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا جَعَلَكُمْ مُسْتَخْلَفِينَ فِيهِ He's instructing everyone. He says, believe in Allah and His Messenger and spend out of that in which He has made you successive inheritors. So there's two instructions. One is to believe and the other is to spend. When it comes to belief, believe in two things. Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And meaning speaking about this particular verse. Two things are mentioned there. And He says spend from what Allah has provided you. He's made you inheritors, successive inheritors. You know how amazing it is? Wealth just changes hands, that's all. So if you are wealthy, it's because someone has earned money. Through what? Getting money from someone else. Or sometimes digging the ground and selling it to someone else, so the money came from someone else. So it just changes hands. So Allah is saying, wake up and see. We've given it value simply so that you can fulfill the test. When you're playing Monopoly as a little child and you have these little dollars that you'll never be able to buy even a droplet of water with. But to be honest, you build big, big hotels. Where? On the Monopoly board. You and I know what we're talking about. It's given value for the time of the game. So all this gold and silver, platinum and whatnot, and diamonds and cars and jewelry and watches and phones and laptops and everything else and screens and this and whatever else and perfumes and scents and clothing and colors and everything is given value while you're playing the game. What's the game? It's called life. Not actually a game, but a test. That's what it is. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. May He guide us. All this is absolutely disqualified from entering Jannah. Your gold and whatever I mentioned, the gold bangles and the rings and whatever else, and what you've been wishing for when you pass the jewelry shops and nobody can afford it for you, all that is going to be a waste. It's not even qualified to get into Jannah. Not at all. Allah says, we made you successive inheritors. Spend of it. Spend. When you spend, you're depositing it with Allah. You'll be able to achieve a currency that you will be able to buy things with in the future, in the hereafter. But with us, there's a problem. What's the problem? We become so glued to these things, so stuck to them, that we just don't want to spend miserly, niggardly. So Allah says, for those who have believed among you and spent, there will be a great reward. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. My mothers and sisters, this is connected to spending as well. Those from among you who believed, and on top of that they spent, they will get a great reward. فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَأَنْفَقُوا لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ. They will have a great reward. Allah says, if you can spend from this monopoly money of yours. When I say monopoly money, I mean money that is worthless when it comes to the hereafter. But it is worth every droplet for as long as it is spent in the right cause while you have it here in this world. And what this means is, even if you were a multi-billionaire in US dollar terms and all those billions were to be buried with you, trust me, they wouldn't help you at all. And Allah speaks about this in the Quran. And He says, those who have oppressed themselves, even if they had the entire world's wealth and double it and triple it or whatever amount of it, it wouldn't help them. It would not avail them at all from the punishment of Allah on that particular day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us forgiveness and strengthen us. Then Allah says in verse number 8, why do you not believe in Allah? وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Why is it that you are not believing in Allah while the messenger is calling you to believing in your Lord? And He has taken your covenant. Allah has taken the covenant. So Allah is saying, look, the messenger has called you to believing in Allah. Why is it that you're not believing in Allah? So this, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, directed to those who disbelieved, and at the same time directed to every one of us for lesson. Why? That, why is it that we turn away from Allah? The messenger has come to us, and messengers of the messenger have come to us reciting verses of Allah and repeating words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why is it that you are not turning? What is the problem? What is stopping you? What is delaying you? It's going to be too late very soon. So Allah says, why do you not believe in Allah while the messenger invites you to believe in your Lord and He has taken your covenant? If you should truly be believers, you claim to be believers. What is the covenant being spoken about? Allah took a covenant from every one of us. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِن بَنِي آدَمَ مِن ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. Remember the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took out the entire offspring of Adam, you and I included, from the back or the spine or the lower back of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And He got all of them to life, a certain type of life. And He asked us all a question, am I not your Rabb? And we all said, indeed you are. Allah says, you took the covenant. Well, you and I will say, we don't remember. So Allah says, well, don't risk your acts of worship here. Render them to your Maker alone, and then you will be safe. What was it? Not to worship anyone besides Allah. That's the covenant. Every one of us took it. Not to worship anyone besides He who made you, He whom you are going to return to, and so on. So Allah says, you have taken the covenant. Why don't you believe? It is He who sends down upon His servant Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam verses of clear evidence that He may bring you out from the darknesses into the light. These verses of the Quran, they are revealed to Allah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to remove us all from the darknesses into the light. Why is darknesses plural? It's plural because the paths of the devil are many, but the path of Allah Almighty is one. So that's why you find the term dhulumat, meaning plural of darkness. And you find an-nur is only singular, always. Nowhere in the Quran is it more than that. Allah says, and indeed Allah is very kind to you and very merciful. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُمْ لَرَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah is very kind to you
Do you know, we don't deserve most of what we have. Allah says, we still continue giving you. How many of us, we dilly-dally when it comes to our prayer, when it comes to worshipping Allah alone, when it comes to reading, learning the Quran and the word of Allah, when it comes to our dress code, when it comes to halal and haram, when it comes to various other aspects of life, we dilly-dally, we falter. Allah says, I'm still kind, I'm very kind. I will give you, don't worry. I'm going to continue giving you. But you need to be worried if you die in a condition that you are displeasing Allah. Verse number 10. Why do you not spend in the cause of Allah? What a question. So the first question is, why don't you believe in Allah? Because he spoke about belief and spending in the previous verse. The first question is, why don't you believe in Allah? And the next question is, why don't you spend in the cause of Allah? Spend in any good cause towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and achieving His pleasure. Spend while you're alive. Give. The wealth will help you when you spend it in the right cause, not when you amass it. Why do you not spend in the cause of Allah? While to Allah belongs the heritage of the heavens and the earth, the kingdom of the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah. Why don't you spend? Why is Allah saying this? He's saying it because He's showing us that whatever you're holding in your hands also belongs to Him. If He wants, He can swipe it from you. Take it, gone, completely, totally, finished, over. Some people have a little with a lot of blessing in it. Some people have a lot with no blessing in it. And vice versa. So Allah can take it away. He says, spend. We will give you more. We will give you barakah. We will give you blessing. Spend. The best wealth that a person has ever spent, according to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's words, that wealth which is spent when you are fearing poverty, but you're still spending, giving someone who is more in need. Allahu Akbar. A beggar whom you've given a dollar to takes out 50 cents or gives the entire dollar to another beggar who needs it more. We are all beggars unto Allah. Ya ayyuhan nas antumul fuqara'u ilallah. O people, you are the ones who are in absolute need as beggars to Allah. Wallahu huwa al-ghaniyul hamid. Allah is independent, praiseworthy, completely. So Allah says, why don't you spend in the cause of Allah while to Allah belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth? Then Allah is saying to the mu'mineen at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the extended lesson is for every one of us, they are not equal amongst you, those who spent before the conquest of Makkah and fought, and those who spent after. You know, the conquest of Makkah took place in a certain time. And before that time, those who spent were given a greater reward than those who spent after it. Why? Because it was a more difficult time. Very difficult. So this verse shows us all that those who spend during times of difficulty and hardship get a far bigger reward than those who spend at times of ease. And what a simple explanation in our language, when we look into numbers all the time, that the percentage would be far greater if you were to spend when you had less than if you were to spend when you had more. So if I'm a multi-millionaire and I give $10,000, for example, it's a far smaller percentage than if I were to have $100 and give 50. Allahu Akbar. This is why to Allah, it's got to do with the genuineness. It's got to do with the heart. It's got to do with how, in what condition you've given. It's got to do with whether you've given for the sake of Allah, with humbleness, humility, assisted those who don't have as much as you. Try and let others lead a comfortable life as well, even though you're not related to them. Even though you may not know them. They are mu'mineen, muslimin. They are human beings after all. To reach out to a dog is actually a rewardable deed. What about to reach out to a human being who does not share your faith? What about reaching out to a human being who shares your faith? Subhanallah. So this is amazing. People think we should only assist when it comes to a certain group of people. The truth is, you assist towards humanity at large. Yes, you may want to start off with your relatives and those who are close to you, those who share the faith, and then those who don't. That's how it should go. That's the priority, definitely. So we have to prioritize without a joke. But sometimes on humanitarian grounds, you may want to forgo all that because you see someone dying. If someone is drowning, dying, you don't just say, hang on, let me just go back to my village for 1 month and go and help all my relatives, then I'll come back and save your life. They are drowning now. They are dying now. You jump in, make sure you know how to swim. And inshallah, you take them out. Let's be compassionate towards one another. And can I tell you, most people don't want your money. They only want you to be genuine, kind, polite, and pleasant. That's to the rest of humanity. They don't want your money. A lot of people have enough. Meaning maybe not as much as you, but they don't want. They just want you to be able to greet, to smile, be genuine, protect yourself from backbiting about them, harming them behind their backs, saying nice things about them behind their backs. That's all they want. Most of us, our stress is connected to what people say behind our backs. That's what it is. And nowadays they don't mind posting it on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and Vine and what else? Hey, there's so many I don't even know. It's all about gossip today. Everyone fully involved somehow, one way or another. If you're not the one who makes it, you're the one who spreads it. If you're not the one who spreads it, you're the one who read it and laughed at it. How many of us would fire back and say, listen, sister, brother, this is unacceptable. May Allah make it easy for us to stand up for what is right. The world would be a better place if only we were genuine towards one another. Not everyone's going to think like you. Not everyone's going to be like you. Not everyone's going to believe exactly what you believe. Not everyone's going to follow your faith. It does not mean you must be cruel to them. No. You need to be kind. You need to be good. You need to be able to live a life where by the time you die, people will realize the goodness of the teachings you followed, of the principles of the deen that you followed. The Prophet ﷺ, to his enemies, he was the kindest of all. He was the best. Yes, when justice needed to be served, he definitely served it. When they needed to fight, they fought for justice, for what was true, in order to defend those who were oppressed. If a thief has walked into your house, you don't call him in and offer him a cup of tea. Say, I'm a Muslim, come in, enjoy. Would you like coffee? Cappuccino or flat white? Flat white. Allahu Akbar. Before you know it, your whole lounge will be flattened. Where you need to stand up, you stand up. You defend your wealth, your property, your family members. You defend your deen. You defend whatever else you have to defend in a beautiful way. But you do not become oppressive. You do not become dirty. You do not become the one who's wrong. You try and deal with a problem and you become the one who's wrong. Astaghfirullah. So Allah says, why don't you spend in the cause of Allah while to Allah belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth? Not equal among you are those who spent before the conquest of Makkah and fought, and those who did so after that. And I explained that this is also connected for us as a lesson to those who spend during times of difficulty. Those are greater in degree than they who spent afterwards and fought. Fought here meaning fighting to defend in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Striving, the struggle. But to Allah, but to all, Allah has promised the best. So Allah will give everyone who did good, goodness. And Allah is of what you do all aware. Which means Allah is aware of every single thing you do. He knows every detail. May Allah forgive us. My mothers and sisters constantly repeat, Astaghfirullah. Oh Allah, forgive me. Constantly repeat it through the day. Think of the little things you've done that are wrong. And say, oh Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, may Allah forgive our sins. We are so sinful. Wallahi, I tell you, we have done so many things that we shouldn't have done. We need to ask Allah's forgiveness. Don't ever think for a moment, no, I haven't. I don't know what he's talking about. May Allah forgive us all. Yes, the nature of the wrong is different from, you know, with different people, the level differs. But every one of us is in need of this seeking forgiveness of Allah. That's part of Allah's plan. The nature of man, Allah's kept these desires within us. Allah's kept inclination and love of certain things within us in order to test us. So if you falter, he says, there's a way out. You're not just doomed. No way. There is no sin ever, ever, ever that you can commit that's unforgivable if you seek the true forgiveness, the proper forgiveness. Shirk is not forgiven if you don't seek forgiveness. Seek forgiveness and even from shirk, you will be forgiven. For as long as you've done it properly, you sought forgiveness and you didn't return to it. And you died in a condition that you were not from among the polytheists, mushrikeen. So Allah says, he's aware. Then Allah says, who is it that would loan Allah a goodly loan so he will multiply it for him and he will have a noble reward? Who is it? Who from among you is ready? This is a question Allah is asking. Who from among you is ready? to loan, to lend Allah a goodly loan, so Allah will increase it manifold in his credit or to his credit. And he will have a good reward in paradise for that. One might ask, why does Allah need my money? Well, to be honest with you, it's part of your test. It's just the same reason why the examiner asks you three by three when he knows the answer, and he doesn't really need you to answer it, but you need to answer it in order to get the certificate. Because if you don't, and if you write there, you're so foolish, oh dear sir, for having asked me what 3 by 3 is, or two times four, or whatever else, when you know all the answers, you get a zero. You wasted your examination fee, you wasted your time going to school, you wasted absolutely everything. Gone. You come out, fail. Still lucky, regarding school, you can go back, write again. But once you die, there's no going back. So Allah says, we know, we have the wealth. We could have done it without you. We will still do it without you. That's what Allah says. But we're just offering you, giving you a chance. Come. You want it? It will help you. It won't help us. Those poor people will still live. They'll still survive. Others will give them. They may be provided for in a way that Allah knows. But Allah was just giving you a chance to say, listen, you know about this. Are you going to give? You can, can't you? Are you going to help? Are you going to give someone else? Are you going to donate? Some of it is zakah. Zakah meaning that which is compulsory. My mothers and sisters, it does not belong to you. It's no big deal for having taken it out when it does not belong to you. What is the big deal is to give over and above the zakah, that which really and truly belongs to you. Because when you got the wealth, 2.5% was already Allah's, not yours. All you had to do, what the big deal was, is to calculate it and make sure it's given to the right people, because it does not belong to you. That's what it is. But what's the big deal is what belongs to you. Let's talk about it. What's that? The 97.5%. That's what belongs to me. How much of that am I ready to give? Well, I found it difficult to even give the 2.5%. I had to tell my husband to pay the zakat for my jewelry. How was that? Wow, mashallah. Wow. I've had questions where people ask, I don't have cash. I'm not liquid. Well, guess what? Make the gold liquid. It will take you to Jannah. Don't give the excuse to say, I'm not liquid. No ways. Make it liquid. Change it. Go back. Get something. Sell a small portion of it. One ring. And that'll be enough. I'm just giving you an example. Stop complaining. May Allah forgive us. My mothers and sisters, we are so lucky. We are so fortunate. Wallahi, Allah's made things easy for us. But the reason I'm wording it this way is just to show us that that does not belong to us. It really doesn't. Like I told you, there's no big deal. When it comes to zakat, the big deal is to calculate it and get it out of the system because it's not yours. That's the big deal. But when it comes to the rest that really belongs to you, are you ready to give out 10%? Say, for example, 15%. Okay, let's make it a bit smaller, 5%. So if your zakat calculation is, for example, $1,000, are you ready to give another $2,000 to say, Allah, this is now me. It's just me giving you. You didn't force me to give this. I'm just giving it because I love you so much and I want my Jannah and I want to reach out to those who don't have as much as I do. That's the big deal. That is paradise. This is what it is. Allahu Akbar. This is why the hadith says, you read 5 farad salah, your duty is done. But the big deal is when you can go beyond that, your sunnah and your nafil. That's when you really get so close to Allah that He enters your life in a totally different way. Allahu Akbar. Mothers and sisters, look at the beauty. The beauty. So Allah says, on the day, this is the day of judgment. On the day you see the believing men and believing women, their light proceeding before them, and on their right it will be said to them, your good tidings today are of gardens beneath which rivers flow, wherein you will abide eternally. That is what is the great attainment. You have achieved so much, O you who believe, you who have believed and spent in the right cause. Men and women, there will be a light in front of them. Their faces will be shining. And at the same time, a light on their right where they will be getting their books. And Allah will say to them, or it will be said to them, your good tidings today. The glad news today to you is regarding the gardens that we've promised you, beneath which rivers are flowing. Go, that is yours. This is for who? Those who believe and spent. On the same day, the hypocrites, this is the next verse. On the same day, the hypocrites, men and women, will say to those who believed, wait for us, so that we may acquire some of your light, because they will notice they are in darkness. They are darkened. Wait for us so that we may acquire some of your light. It will be said, go back behind. Go back behind, O you, and seek the light. And as they go behind, a wall will be placed between them with a door. The interior will be containing the mercy of Allah, but the exterior will be full of torment and punishment. The believers will be within, and the hypocrites will be outside. Allahu Akbar. May Allah grant us entry into Jannah. Ameen. May Allah grant us Jannah. You earn Jannah through believing in Allah and His Messenger and through spending in His cause. These are the two things mentioned in this particular verse or in this particular surah at the beginning. And then Allah says, they, the hypocrites, will call to the believers saying, weren't we with you? Now this is an excuse. Weren't we with you? We used to be with you. So the believers will say, yes, but you afflicted yourselves, you harmed yourselves, and you awaited misfortune for us, and you doubted, and wishful thinking deluded you, until there came the command of Allah, and the deceiver who is Satan deceived you concerning Allah. You allowed Shaitan to deceive you. The command of Allah came, but you turned away. You allowed Shaitan to take control of you. You were always in doubt. You awaited misfortune for us as believers, even though you may have been with us. And at the same time, you harmed yourselves. That's verse number 14, the same surah. The hypocrites will say, they will call out to the believers, were we not with you? The believers will reply, yes, but you led yourselves into temptation. You looked forward for our destruction. You doubted in faith, and you were deceived by false desires, until the command of Allah came to pass, and the chief deceiver, who is Satan, deceived you in respect of Allah. May Allah not do that to us. May we be protected. This is why, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. I seek protection in Allah from Shaitan the accursed. That's a beautiful dua. On its own even, it's a powerful dua. Repeat it through the day, a lot and often. So Allah says, now after this discussion, when they were told, no, you're not from amongst us. You were with us physically, but in your hearts you were not. So the next verse says, so today no ransom will be taken from you or from those who disbelieved. Your refuge is in the fire. It is most worthy of you. And what a wretched destination. Allahu Akbar. The best place for you to be in right now is the fire. That's what will be told to them. May Allah forgive us. Allah is merciful. Some people say, why does Allah have to speak in this way in order to warn the people when He is most merciful, most kind? It is through His mercy that He warns people. All of us, we love our children, but sometimes you've got to give them warnings. Listen here, if you do not do X, Y, and Z, you will be punished. Subhanallah. Sometimes you have to say this. Or sometimes we word it a little bit differently because of the weakness of some of the children of the new generation and new age. We tell them, if you do it in the wrong way, or if you do something that you're not instructed, or if you go against these instructions, you won't get what you so dearly want. Same thing, worded differently. But it's up to Allah. He will choose what He wants. He is the one. I have no say in what Allah has revealed. I believe, I accept, I worship, I acknowledge, I adopt. And I definitely know it will come to pass. But I also know that Allah's mercy overtakes anything and everything. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon us. The last verse that I wish to translate today has the time not come. This is verse number 16, Surah Al-Hadid. Has the time not come for those who have believed that their hearts should become humbly submissive at the remembrance of Allah and what came down in terms of the truth? Has the time not come for the believers to soften up towards the remembrance of Allah and the truth? That's a question. It's for all of us, yourselves and myself. and everyone. Has the time not come for you to soften your heart, turn towards Allah and towards the truth, towards the remembrance of Allah? What are you waiting for? That's the question. So Allah says, let them not be like those who were given the scriptures before and a long period passed over them, so their hearts became hard. Once the hearts are hardened, my mothers and sisters, the chances of a person getting softened become slimmer. So Allah says, and many of them are defiantly disobedient. Many of them are defiantly disobedient. Let's not be from among those who are disobedient. Let's be from among those who earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My mothers and sisters, beautiful verses of Surah Al-Hadid. And alhamdulillah, I tried to get both of the translations that we use here, the Noble Quran translation as well as the Sahih International translation, and to compare the two and to see how best we can understand these verses in simple, clear, cut English. Believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His qualities, His names, absolutely everything connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May He make it easy for us. May He grant us goodness. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.